Children, come to me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It is such an honor to have our children lead us today in worship. We often remind our children that they can talk to God whenever they want. They don't need an adult to stand in between them and God and mediate for them. They have direct access to their Father. The Holy Spirit lives in children, just as he lives in adults who follow him and love him. It is a continual joy for me to teach on Sunday afternoons with each of our classes and hear our children unhindered respond to God's word being taught to them. Since becoming a parent, I keep a journal of quotes that my kids say, and now as director of children, I love to just write down quotes because they might never happen again, and they're so beautiful and wise and insightful. So I would like to share with you a few things that I've heard in our Sunday school classes from the mouths of our children. A couple of these you might have heard. I shared a few at our Thanksgiving service after Christmas, but there's some new ones too. The shepherds were the luckiest people in the world. They got to hold baby Jesus the night he was born. And could Jesus become a baby again so we could hold him? And then, are we Israelites? And then, God didn't keep his promise because he said he was coming back, but that was 1,000 years ago. So did he break his promise? I really like that question. Does Jesus die on every Good Friday? I wish he didn't have to die. And God has a dresser in his room, but no bed because he never sleeps. And then after discussing the story in Acts where Paul casts out demons from a little girl, one incredulous third grader, almost falling out of his chair, asked, did this really happen? For real? Yes. The kingdom of heaven belongs to our children. It is an honor as their parents, their families, and their church community to point them to who God is. We study the Bible and we teach our children the Bible because the Bible is God's story. And we can know God through learning his story. In leading us today, our children have shared two great snippets from God's great story from the Old and New Testaments. In each of these two powerful stories, we see God as our rescuer. He rescued the children from Israel from being slaves in Egypt, even after Pharaoh changed his mind and chased after them by trapping them in the Red Sea. And just as the children showed us, God did something amazing. He didn't let them stay trapped. He opened up the sea and made a path for the Israelites to escape. Then also when Jesus is out in the boat with his disciples, when suddenly a storm hits so fiercely that even Jesus' friends become afraid. And Jesus saves them in an amazing way. He doesn't just row through the high waves with his superhero muscles and pull them to shore just in time, although that might have been a cool story too. But instead, Jesus commands the wind and the waves to be still. There is no one else who can do that. Through all of God's story, God's children continue to get into tight spots where we are afraid, where there is no way out. And God has shown us his power and his faithfulness from generation to generation, from parting the Red Sea for the children of Israel to calming the wind and the sea and rescuing his disciples to guiding our paths today. Throughout this past school year in each of our Kids of the Redeemer classes, we have studied many individual stories from the Bible that show how amazing God is in so many ways, but I think my favorite Sundays were a couple Sundays ago before we started practicing our dramas, and we met as a big group, and we combined our story symbols from each of the classes, and the children and I together told a few sentences about each story and what each symbol was about. And then Aaliyah Keske, our graduating sixth grader, she stuck all our symbols in a row on the wall for us, and we could look at God's big story all together, all in a row. We get to know God through his great story through the ages. And looking at the big picture, we see a pattern, and it's his never-ending love. Parts of his story we may have heard many times, and other parts we may never have heard before. Often when our children's ministry teachers share a story with our children, we remind them that they might have already heard this story before, about Jonah, about Jericho, about a sheep, lost sheep. But each time we listen to God's story, he can show us new things and different things and speak to our hearts in new ways. His story is always new. This is true for you, children, and this is true for me and for all of our church family. We can know God through learning his story. 13 years ago, shortly after Bjorn presented me with an engagement ring, he next presented me with a required reading list. As many of you know, the Lundgrens love literature and learning, and Bjorn is no exception. So for my required reading before I joined the Lundgren family, top on the list Bjorn made for me was the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Before I met Bjorn, I did not even know there was a Lord of the Rings trilogy, but I read them. Sometimes we read them out loud together. Sometimes I read them on my own, but I read all of them. And to be honest, all of the chivalry and the battle strategy and elvish lore and Gandalf, who's not exactly God, but kind of like God, but sometimes abandons Frodo and Sam, who never quite know where he is or how to reach him, but then sometimes appears suddenly and saves all of the good guys. It is not my favorite story ever, but I respect all of those who love it and claim it as their favorite. And I've even been to the theater with elf ears with Bjorn, so I support it. The main reason I enjoyed reading the Lord of the Rings trilogy was because I got to know a story that was really special to Bjorn. And I began to understand Bjorn a little better as I learned more about the things he loves. I also love finding out which stories interest my children most, which chapter books Gabriel and Caleb can't put down, which fancy Nancy's and Chinko Bonbon adventure books Christiana and Mary Kate ask to be read again and again. If we can know others through stories they love, how much more can we know God, our Creator, through the great story he created? We love our favorite stories because we think we are a little bit like someone in that story. Sometimes we can even imagine that we are in the story. Bjorn might imagine himself riding on a horse next to Aragorn. Maybe I imagine following my dreams unhindered by social norms, just like Anne of Avonlea. I did make Bjorn read those. They were on my required reading list. Gabriel and Caleb love their superhero adventure stories so much that sometimes they need to be reminded that their real names are actually not Batman and Spider-Man. We love these stories because there is something exciting in them that we want to be a part of. We study God's story so we can know where we belong in it. And better than any superhero or adventure story, God's story is real and true, and we don't even have to imagine ourselves in it. We are in it. We are his beloved children, children of the living God. Jesus told lots of stories that we call parables to help us think about where we are in his story. To one person who asked, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus did not give him an easy answer, but through the story of the Good Samaritan that we've talked about, children, in our classes, Jesus asks us all to think about which character we are like in that story. After sharing a story from the Bible with our preschoolers, Teresa Garnett often invites children to wonder. "I wonder where you are in this story." And we often hear responses like, "I am a sheep that the shepherd loves." Or sometimes, "I am the sheep who runs away." Or, "I am an Israelite crossing the Red Sea." Or, "I am in the boat with Jesus." We are not observers peeking out at God's wonders from a side curtain. We are written into his script. It is important to know that the Bible is God's great story and that we are a part of it. Sally Lloyd-Jones in the Jesus Storybook Bible, which our kindergartners are about to receive, writes into her introduction, "The Bible is not a book of rules or a book of heroes. The Bible is most of all a story. It is an adventure story about a young hero who comes from a far country to win back his lost treasure. It's a love story about a brave prince who leaves his palace, his throne, everything to rescue the one he loves. It's like the most wonderful of fairy tales that has come true in real life. You see, the best thing about this story is it's true." We love the Bible because it is God's true story, and we are a part of it because we are his children. This winter, I had the privilege of attending a class taught by Liz Stewart, who is here today. For any of you who don't know Liz, she is a children's pastor at Church of the Cross in Hopkins, and she is a mentor and an encourager to me. In Liz's class, we began reading long excerpts from the Old Testament, discussing main ideas and events as a story narrative, and then we practiced telling the highlights, the Cliff Notes versions, from the stories to each other. What struck me most about this experience of both hearing and then retelling the Bible as a whole story was the unmistakable pattern that pops out you cannot ignore it. In the Old Testament, God loves his children so much that he saves them from evil again and again. In the New Testament, God loves his children so much that he saves them from evil again and again. Today, God still loves us, his children, so much that he rescues us from evil again and again and again forever. This is the pattern in God's story. God loves his children again and again and forever, and his mercies are new every morning. A few weeks ago, I was a helper in the preschool classroom during a time when children were invited to interact with wooden figures from the stories they had already been presented. It was a work Sunday, that's what we call it. This is church work. I asked one child who seemed to be rummaging around in different baskets and boxes if I could help her with anything. And this is what she told me. "I was just looking for Jesus, but I already found him." She held up to me the wooden figure so I could see, and then proceeded to act out her story with Jesus. That is why we have a children's ministry, so our children can encounter Jesus and be confident of their place with him in his story. From God's story, we know the beginning and we know the ending, and we know the pattern of his never-ending love. Right now, we are somewhere in the middle part of his story, and we don't know everything about this part yet. Children, we hope and we pray that you will know God's grace and peace, and that his face will shine on you and give you strength. We pray that for you. Yet we also know that you and all of us might experience a lot of pain or sickness or fear or other struggles. We might be treated unfairly, and our hearts may even break. All kinds of happy and sad things might happen in this part of God's story that we are in. But even when sad and hard things happen, we can know that God is with us and he will never leave us, because we know him and we know his story. And we know that in his story, we will have a great ending, better than any fairy tale or superhero adventure, because at the very end of this story, we get to be with Jesus, the beginning and the end, the one who was and is to come. And he will wipe away our tears and fill our hearts with joy. Please pray with me. Lord God, thank you for our children. Thank you for the blessing that they are to our church family, and for your story. Help us to know our place in your story, that we are your beloved. Thank you for rescuing us again and again and again. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.